Good evening. This is lesson five, coming from our study of the foundations of mindfulness as presented to us by Nalio in his latest book. I'm recording this because I forgot to record it during the live presentation of this lesson, so I'm going to record it for you in case you weren't there. So we begin with setting the first foundation of mindfulness of the body. And remember, we talked about the three prajnas, or wisdom tools, that in these teachings we are hearing, contemplating, and meditating. And all three are designed to facilitate this embodiment of the Dharma. And hearing is when we listen to or read the teachings, and it's where the process begins, our first bite. If we don't give ourselves time to properly chew on and digest the teachings, we won't fully absorb their wisdom. And instead of getting spiritually nourished, we will end up intellectually bloated. So what that means is it stays in our minds. We can't take it to the experiential level if we just limit it to the mind. Remember when we talk about embodiment? It's about experiencing the world through the body. It's about feeling the world instead of just thinking the world. Two very different perspectives. And we're 100% alive when we embody life. For anything we see, hear, taste, smell, touch, or think, there comes a felt bodily reaction. Let me say that again, because that's important. For anything through our six senses that we see, hear, taste, smell, think, or touch, there comes a felt bodily reaction. So Buddha tells us there are ways that help us experience the truth of the body. One, which we've already talked about, we added the skin, flesh, and bone to our scanning practice. The second one we've talked about is we contemplate that we are actually just nature. The four elements, earth, water, fire, and air. And it's what we share with all of nature. Thirdly, he added contemplation of death. And this is the last set of instructions the Buddha gives on mindfulness of the body. And it's the contemplation of corpses in various states of decay. Now, for most of us, there's limited opportunity to undertake this practice and to reflect deeply on the decaying nature of the body and what happens to it after death. But monks are invited to do such a thing. But what can we do as practitioners? Well, we can visualize a corpse in these various stages of decay, remembering that our own bodies are of exactly the same nature. We can become so identified with the body that we might find it difficult to look at or even visualize the decomposition of a corpse. And yet, decomposition is just nature at work. So, we're entering truth again. This is what is true for all living things. And the more we can open to this truth, the less attached we can be to the idea of these bodies staying unchanged, and the less we suffer when they do change, even when the body is dying. A compelling practice might be to look carefully at animals that were being killed on the road by passing cars. Sometimes it looks like they're just resting peacefully, but more often they have been squashed. And so we see it all. We see the good, the bad, and the ugly. Blood and guts. And then scavengers have begun to pick them apart. It's not a very pleasant sight. But again, life's not just full of pleasant sights. And for us to wake up to the truth, that has to be known. Yet it does help us to understand the nature of the body, all our bodies. And it helps us open to the universal truth of death and decay. So the point here is not to become morbidly obsessed, but rather to use and care for the body without the underlying intense attachment to it. So this contemplation itself, the Buddha says, can even wake us up completely, to be completely happy. And that's quite a statement. Another practice I think that would be helpful that wasn't mentioned in this chapter are the teachings of the five remembrances. I'll quote them for you. Number one, I am of the nature to grow old. There is no way to escape growing old. The second one, I am of the nature to have ill health. There is no way to escape having ill health. The third one, I am of the nature to die. There is no way to escape death. Four, all that is dear to me and everyone I love are of the nature to change. There is no way to escape being separated from them. And the last of the five remembrances, my actions are my only true belongings. I cannot escape the consequences of my actions. My actions are the ground on which I stand. So these five remembrances are intended to be recited or to be memorized. And they're things that we might could say every day, or maybe the first thing we say when we wake up, or the thought we have before we go to sleep. Or tape them next to your bathroom mirror or your kitchen counter. As they become internalized, they become a kind of touchstone, a constant reminder to ourselves that we are the nature to grow old, that there's no way around aging. There is no way around sickness. And of course, there is no way around death. So Anālio says, the time to prepare for death is right here and now. When else could it be? Just as we would not start to study only on the day of examination, just as we would not start to train only on the day of competition. Similarly, it is not a good idea to wait for the time of dying in order to prepare for death. Such preparations are better done in advance, when we are reasonably healthy and able to approach the fact of our mortality gradually. So learning to face our mortality step by step, we are training in the art of dying. This last sentence is very important. Training in the art of dying is at the same time training in the art of living. Such a sweet lesson. Thank you.